Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, everybody, let's hang tight and look for landing radar.
Flight guidance.
No guidance.
We'll need that landing radar by 18,000 with this down track.
Roger.
On the pings.
Roger, I copy guidance.
Okay,
we got data back.
Radar flight looks good.
Roger.
2,000 feet.
Roger. 2,000 foot del H. Goes based on the data you had for an LOS. I see we got it back. Give you another few seconds.
We're yelling fine.
Okay, retro.
Go.
Vital.
Go.
Guide.
Go.
Control.
Go.
Telcom.
Go.
GNC.
Go.
Ecom.
Go.
Surgeon.
Go.
Capcom. We're go to continue PDI.
Coming to you live from the slopes of the ghost-filled Sierra Nevada gold country and in the paranormally active shadow of Mount Rainier, it's Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio with your hosts, John Almada and Kat Lang.
Hey, welcome to a midweek showing of Ghost Rider Paranormal. We're calling in on the Skype phone, trying out some of our new capabilities. But what happened was we had some technical difficulties, so I'm emergency backup Skype phone, and we're going to go ahead and continue on while I troubleshoot. And let's talk about a few things, some paranormal news that's out there. And so I'm going to talk about right now the Ghost Stock 7, the Paranormal Enthusiast Convention, which is going to be happening in Salem, Massachusetts. That'll be April 16th through the 19th in 2009. And it, I believe it moved up from Savannah. Yes, that's what it says here in the show notes. The first six Ghost Stock conventions have taken place in Savannah, Georgia, and the new move is designed to bring some new energy into this very worthwhile convention and bring in some new folks with an interest in the paranormal, and where better than Salem. And so we'll look forward to hearing more about that, and I believe it's going to be Brian Harnoy and a few other well-known folks are going to be there. And if you want to find out more, to http://ghoststock.com. That's GOSTOCK.com. And we'll move on here to the next story, right off, hot off the printer. This is another very worthwhile one that it looks to me like this is about the Seven Sisters. And I think this is in Florida. I'll go ahead and just read the story. Yes, it is, out of Florida. Ocala, Florida. Florida ghost hunters are rallying to save the Seven Sisters Inn, the historic and reportedly haunted bed and breakfast that faces foreclosure if it is not sold by April 7th. The Seven Sisters Inn is a bed and breakfast that consists of two homes listed on the National Historic Register. Some paranormal sleuths believe that the inn is haunted. Now, the Southeastern Paranormal Investigations, also known as SEPI, S-E-P-I, an Ocala-based group that offers ghost tours, has launched an online petition urging the inn's mortgage holder to extend the foreclosure deadline. Meanwhile, a South Florida paranormal investigator who's worked on a ghost hunting TV special on the inn for Univision said he's registered www.savethesevensistersinn.com and hopes to have the internet site up by today to echo the petition and perhaps some great efforts. So I'm going to go ahead on the GRI site, go ahead and put this on as a central item on the front page to get folks to go take a look at that. And we'll put it out on the GRI radio show page here too, so you folks can go ahead and maybe, if you have a few extra dollars, what the heck, maybe even send it into them and help them if that's possible, if they do make that available. Imagine what would happen if we all helped pay each other's mortgages off in this day and age. If extension on that, we will go full blast to do some charity events. Whatever it takes, said George Mercado, who contends that the Seven Sisters is not only one of the nicest and most hospitable inns he's ever investigated, it's also one of the most haunted. Currently, the owners of the Seven Sisters are seeking a buyer for the two-house Victorian Inn along southeast Fort King Street. The two restored century-old homes are on the market for $1.3 million if an acceptable contract is not presented by April 7th. First Coast Community Bank will sell the homes at a foreclosure auction, according to the inn's owners. Well, you know, it's interesting. I hope that if it does foreclose, and God help them if they do have that, maybe someone can come in behind and go ahead and take that over to help that out, help get the inn going again under as a, you know, as a paranormal spot to investigate. So whatever people can do. I did find a petition for the to sign online. It's www.petitiononline.com/7pet/petition.html. So I'll, after the show, we'll go ahead and put these links up and have those for you folks to sign. And hopefully maybe the bank can get a heart and help these folks out. I'm going to go ahead, too, and let folks know that this is a one-hour show. And we're going to break at the half hour, which will be at 8:55, after which time I will open the call-in line. And that's going to be 646-478-0377. And it's whatever you want to talk about. If you've got some ghost sightings you want to report, or you have more worthwhile news about you know, homes or sites that are in danger that maybe somebody needs to know about to protect or save, or maybe you have some news that you want to share, or if you have a sighting, something like that, feel free to give us a call, and we'll be glad to take that. I'm going to go ahead and move on into, let's see. This piece of news, it was interesting. I missed this last night. I got home a little late from work and did not get a chance to see it. But this story is a Ghost Hunters Star Island recap. And it says here, Creepy Doll Talks Back. And, you know, I've investigated places and been around some of those creepy dolls. And I'll tell you what, they are spooky. And I don't know what to think when I go into a place and somebody's got dolls all around. It just creeps me out. And I'm one of those folks that just gives me the willies, you know. That said, let's go ahead and the story here. And TAPS investigators hear footsteps, see a door close, and record a voice in the nursery. Ghost Hunters aired on Sci-Fi this last Wednesday. Keep in mind that TAPS has taken some heat credibility-wise, and there's a petition out there to have the show take this all with a grain of salt. And I'm just going to make a minor show adjustment. And then I'm going to make a very quick switch. And so right now I'm going to go ahead to our newsleader song and then switch over to the other board in just a moment.
Yeah, it took me a little bit to get this all figured out, and I had a minor equipment problem, and so hopefully you're hearing me a little bit better. And we've got guest 35377. Hello, guest. I see you out there. So we've got someone. I'm going to knock this down here in the chat room a little bit. And anyway, let's go ahead and go on. You know, I'm hearing a lot of folks out there really kind of diss TAPS and also some of the other shows like, you know, Ghost Adventures and Ghost Hunters International. And I'll tell you something here. You know, a lot of us in this business would not be here if it had not been for these folks. And, you know, I'm not going to go out and say that everything I see on TAPS is something that I believe is, the real deal. But I was actually at a TAPS event in November over at Clovis Sanitarium. That's often called Wolf Manor, too. Over in Clovis, which is just outside of Fresno, California. And I had the opportunity to see several of the folks from TAPS and Ghost Hunters International who were there with us. And I was rather struck by the whole thing that, I see Disgruntled Dan's there. Hi, Disgruntled Dan, I've seen you around before. Hey, if you could pop me a note on the chat line just to say hi and say you can hear me well, I'd sure appreciate it. Had to switch. I'll just digress briefly. We had to switch over to the emergency Skype phone because the our main broadcast computer was down, and I had to do some work while I was talking news stories to get it back up and running. So hopefully you're all hearing me well, and I'm going to go ahead and just type something here. And just say hi to everybody. Hi, Dan. I see you there. Hey, can you tell me how I'm sounding out there? I'd sure appreciate it if you could give me a check back, because part of the reason for this show this week, normally I do this on Saturdays, and I'm just testing all the new gear out, and so I just decided to do a one-hour show for Ducks and take it from there. Anyway, I was talking about TAPS and being in Fresno, and seeing that they had a lot of things to say. Hello, Thundercracker. I see you out there. The TAPS was saying, the question came up to their faces, and I really watched hard what they had to say, and they were basically of the opinion and that, yes, people had a lot of right to look at them and think that way, but what was very heartening to hear out of them was they said, look, if we were doing these things and got caught, it would be the end of the show, and are we that crazy? And so I do it is a little garbled. Okay, I see. I'll turn it down just a bit. Thank you on that. Yeah, I'm going to be doing some more work on tuning the Skype connection, but thank you for that. Anyway, I'll kind of back off the mic a little. That seems to help with this. And I'll also make a slight alteration on the system here. And let's see if that helps. Anyway, I do think that TAPS is... Oh, thank you. Thank you, Thundercracker. I do think that TAPS doesn't have a lot to gain by faking evidence, except for one show in particular. And I do find that the live investigation shows are under a lot of pressure to produce something happening. And I think that it might be possible that TAPS itself did not do anything, but I did find some of the Halloween show to be a little stretched for me. So that said, I think that... that was beyond the folks operating in TAPS to be able to control all that, especially some of the auditory phenomena that they had. And I know that I'll probably get some folks telling me that, because Grant had that experience with his jacket and all that, and it was all faked. And really, that's I don't think anybody will ever know on that. But overall, I give TAPS and Ghost Hunters International high marks for what they do and what they try to do. I do think that the folks over at the Ghost Adventures crew are really some gutsy guys. Yeah, I see that Five Seasons. TAPS never shows anything. Well, okay, I'll challenge you. Tell me what you mean by that. What do they mean, show anything? Do they, as far as actually catching a full apparition? Because I have yet to see any show come up with a convincing apparition video yet. And it would be really nice because, even my group, we would love to catch something like that. And it's that's the Holy Grail, And the paranormal is weird enough as it is when you're trying to catch this stuff. But, hey, if you want to call, on the call in line, let me pull the number here. 646-478-0377, you want to talk about it, I'd sure love to hear what you have to say, because believe me, I'm open to hearing all sides of the story. Anyway, on this show that aired yesterday, taps went out to the Isle of Shoals off the coast of New Hampshire and Maine, and to an island called Star Island. It was only a half-hour episode, but even the investigators there thought it was a fascinating location with interesting results in several locations, including the Oceanic Hotel. And some of the evidence that they picked up was audio of footsteps in O'Connor's office area. They got a thermal imaging of a door that closed by itself when they were in the vault. And now there's something there, five seasons. Come on. I mean, at least, thank God they've got the thermal imaging stuff. I sure as heck can't afford it. The big find of the evening, though, on that investigation, they recorded what sounds like a voice responding to Jason's offhand comment about a doll in the nursery being the creepiest baby he's ever seen. And, it's often when I'm on my own investigations and I've been around dolls like that, I get creeped out by them, too. I was saying that earlier. Anyway, really, Thundercracker, you have some Shadow Person videos. I'd like to see more about that. Maybe you could... contact us and maybe send some more information out there. Oh, on Most Haunted, I totally agree with you, Five Seasons, exactly. If there was any one television show I had some real problems with, it would be Most Haunted. And frankly, it's the very narrow camera angles and the lack of using anything, remotely resembling an EVP or anything else. You only see that very occasionally. On there, and it just seems to be more theatrical. You got 2 minutes worth, Thundercrack. Yeah, Thundercracker, that'd be good to see. I'd sure appreciate some of that evidence if you have that. And you, Thundercracker, you're saying you've had many paranormal experiences. Okay. I've had plenty myself, too. That's what got me into this business. I mean, I'm sitting right here right now on a haunted property out here in the gold country, 9 miles from where gold was discovered here in California, and we're right on a haunted gold mine. We have our own resident shadows, and usually during the show, I actually get a knock on the wall at least once, but I've got the headphones on right now, so I probably won't hear it even if one does come up. Five Seasons, I like taps, and I just want them to go further. I do agree with you. I think that they have some professional limits, and I think that they try to stick to a particular protocol. And as I was saying earlier about the Ghost Adventures crew, I do think that they're really pushing the limits, although I think their own personal safety is very much in jeopardy in many cases, because, I think his name is Zach. He does some just crazy stuff. But I think he knows what he's doing, and he talks about it in the show introduction where he talks about his own personal experience with an apparition getting into this. And that's how I started. I had my apparition experience about 300 feet from where I'm sitting right now. And I think that he's really driven. But I also think, though, that he's going to have himself probably one or two very negative experiences, kind of like what they had in Nevada. And I think that that's going to be, and what I'm talking about is the Goldfield Inn, or the Goldfield Hotel, that's it, where they were literally running for their lives to get out of there. And it was the one time they got out of a place before they were supposed to. They actually crawled out the windows to get out of there. And I could understand why. Thundercracker, I'm going to go ahead, if it's okay with you, and share that URL that you just gave me with your video, if you're up for having people check that out. So I'll wait till you give me a go-ahead on that, and then share it with the rest of the audience, because we've got five folks on. I see Five Seasons. So I'll just do the shout-outs here and thank all of you for being here on the show today. We've got Five Seasons, Thundercracker, Disgruntled Dan, and, some guy named GRI Paranormal. I wonder who that might be. And, I'm looking down to see if Thundercracker said yes on that anyway. But what I do like though about the good folks at Ghost Adventures is they are pushing boundaries unlike anybody else. This whole bit of locking themselves in. Thundercracker says, my first experience, I believe, had to do with a growling furnace. I've been in some places where I've heard growls. I was last November 1st, actually, Halloween evening, I was in the USS Hornet along with one of the chief docents and had myself a growl right behind me, and the hair all went up on the back of my neck, and the docent looked at me, and I looked at her, and we got the heck out of Dodge. Okay, hey, Thundercracker said, yeah, go ahead on the URL. So www.richmondmansion.com, and we'll also post this link on the show notes after this show is over with. We got 5 minutes till we're going to take our show break, but I'm not going to go ahead and look at that right now since we are in the middle of the show. But if you could summarize, Thundercracker, and just in the chat room, exactly what you saw, I'll just go ahead and read it off and paraphrase, and then share that with everyone, and maybe drive a few folks to take a look at what you got. I'm not sure if you're running your own group or what, but it sounds like you've been doing this quite a while. Anyway, you did shoot the video. Okay. I hope you were able to stay there and hold it steady while while this apparition showed up in front of you. I know I'd be a little bit shaky on that. I've had a few shadows walk within about 3 feet of me, and I know I got scared out of me. But anyway, we're going to kind of drift back into this. Pretty freeform show since we're testing our soundboard out. And I hope you guys like the improvements we're trying to do here. It's taking a little bit of work to get the network lines all dialed in and tuned with this equipment. And I've got one more piece of gear coming in tomorrow that hopefully will make it just a little bit better. And I think we'll have a really reliable setup here. Now, I'm going to go back to this case from yesterday with the good folks at TAPS. And it looks to me like, let's see, we'll reread what they got. They TAPS picked up audio of footsteps in the O'Connor office area here on the Star Island episode. Thermal imaging of the door closed itself. The big find, they record this voice. And, you know, what's interesting to me is, I go out and I do a lot of EVP, and I mean a lot. I probably investigate more than anybody else in the area because where I'm at, number one, I'm single. Number two, I just have the time. And number three, it's just a lot of fun. And so I carry my gear in my car with me all the time. And so I go out there and hit places and hit them and hit them and hit them. And what I found was that getting out there and actually taking the time to get to know cases in your area and repeatedly hit them seems to stimulate a lot of EVP activity. And so I get a lot of evidence. And that's why I think that if there was any weak area in TAPS method of doing things, it's that they're just there for the one time and they're out of there. And, occasionally they'll come back twice and that's it. So I do wish that they would maybe do a sub theme where they're hitting local cases. And maybe develop those and start seeing if they can pull in more EVP evidence, because that stuff is just fascinating. And it's the easiest evidence to get, I personally think. Thundercracker, let's go here, just a second, 5 seasons. What do you think about sharing real ghost stories with small children? Is that immoral at a young age? I don't know. I really think that fairy tales and things like that are okay. Within reason, they are to teach morals, essentially, Jack and the Beanstalk, things like that. But if you're getting into cases where you're sharing evidence of the paranormal with children, it's already hard enough on the little folks, as it is to grow up, especially in such a negative culture like what we have now with all this bad news everywhere. And, I just think it's better to shield them a little bit, let them grow into it, and then you know, open up to them, you know, when they get past 8 or 9 years old, that there are things out there that are unknown. But at a very young, young age, I don't think it's the right thing to do. No, that's just my personal take. But I am not always right. You know, someone will disagree with me, I am sure. Thundercracker is also kicking in here. The shadow person that he shot was by an investigator. The shadow person showed up on the video while we were out of the room. And then the website video I shot, but it doesn't relate to the shadow person. Okay. So it looks to me like you have that evidence sitting in there that you did get out of the room, but you went ahead and have something else with the video. So we'll find out more. I'm going to go ahead and take our show break briefly, and we'll chat on the chat room while we're taking care of some business here. So I'm going to go ahead and take a 5-minute break. We'll play our theme music for the show, and we'll be back in about 5 minutes. Oh my God, it's so amazing, that great song, and there's so many different versions of it. It just so fits this area we live in. I think Christine is on the line from ED Paranormal.
I am. How are you?
Hey, pretty good. Just trying out the new soundboard. I had a disastrous first test of that here about a week ago, or a little less than. And made some adjustments in the studio, so I was just trying a midweek show out and thought I'd do a little ad hoc, and here you come popping in, along with some of our good friends who are regulars out there on the chat room.
That's cool.
Yeah, I hope your day goes better. I got your email.
Oh, my God.
$300 for the car repair and just trying to get to work? You poor thing.
And then I come home and there's no bed.
Oh,
what is
man.
Up with that?
Well, you know what? Maybe you got to look at the bright side of it. You know, now that that's all repaired, you won't have that coming up in the future, and maybe it'll drive a little better too.
Oh yeah, and then he told me I needed brakes too. So
yeah,
I got that to look forward to too.
I know. I was only going to spend $300 on my recent trip down to the Queen Mary, and when I did that, it cost me $1,000 to go because I had to get new tires and new brakes put on.
So oh my gosh!
Yeah, the GRI Mustang cost me a pretty fortune to get down to do with the stuff I had there. Sounds like you're coughing there, my dear. Are you still having your cough?
I know. Yeah, I actually had a sore throat for the past 2 days.
Well, hey, I'll be glad to do that show with you on Saturday, like you emailed me about. And why don't I just do some Queen Mary evidence, and we'll talk about that.
Yeah, that sounds like a plan.
Okay, and hey, let's see, we've got some. I'll talk. Maybe it would be a good idea to introduce you. I've been remiss in my duties as a host. Can you tell us a little bit about ED Paranormal and about yourself and maybe your website, and then we can go into maybe having some questions answered by our friends in the chat room here?
Sure.
Okay.
ED El Dorado Paranormal Investigations is my company, and I do paranormal investigations all over El Dorado County and other places.
Okay.
And I'm also an author, and I've written two paranormal novels that are published.
Okay. Yeah, and I've actually seen those out on Amazon. I know that you've got those, so the good folks here can go find those.
Yeah, and I have a radio show on KFOK on the first and the third Saturdays of the month, which you've been on several times.
Yep.
You and your golden voice.
Oh, yes. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Right now,
you've got a radio voice.
My golden voice right now is not feeling too good. I'm having a bit of a sore throat myself, so it's just been a
around.
Yeah, I was supposed to go down to a SharePoint meeting down at our group meeting down in Roseville, and I just didn't feel up to it. And so I came out and I thought, what the heck, I feel good enough to sit and do a show, so let's do this. And go forward from there. But yeah, and you're also a sensitive. And,
I am.
And you go into places and you can actually see and sense spirits in the area.
I can, yes.
All right.
And I think I got my practice from living in a haunted house for 12 years.
Yeah, that seems to be the common element among all of us who start our own groups and different things. And you and I, and just so everybody knows, we're in very close proximity to one another, so I'm able to drive right up the road in 9 miles, and we go off and do things together in downtown Placerville, which is haunted as all get up.
Oh, yeah. This is the perfect place to live if you're a paranormal investigator.
Oh, God, this county is so bloody haunted. I mean,
it is.
And You know, and I tend to go out and hit the graveyards. I'm one of those investigators that just I get a kick out of that, and boy, do we get the EVPs out there. But I'm surprised that a couple of our other investigators for GRI went out in downtown Placerville and managed to line up four cases in 1 hour's work just by presenting some of the EVP evidence we picked up, in late February, just in a casual stroll down the street.
Right. You walk through spirits when you walk down Main Street in Placerville.
Oh yeah, I mean the two bookstores. As a matter of fact, we landed a bookstore investigation where we're going to be able to spend the night actually in a haunted bookstore. And the owner is actually someone I've known for quite a while, so they're going to hand me the keys, and we'll have probably three investigators in with our equipment and sleeping bags and, our dinner and some coffee and kick back and see what we pick up. So that ought to be a lot of fun. I hope you're there with us. And,
I'm excited about that because when I was in there, I could feel so much energy, and that bookstore is a used bookstore, and I felt energy from all the people that owned all those books. It was amazing.
Yeah, it did. That's what I've always noticed about it, and I'm very comfortable in there, oddly enough. Usually, some haunted places, you get that eerie feeling, and it's not a... Mm-hmm. It's worth going in, and I like going into those places, but that bookstore just has such a warm feeling about it, and it's always been that way.
Yeah, it does. It just made me smile when I went in there.
Yep, and it's a great energy, and they've got the actual living dog and cat that just sit there and look at you and go, oh, yeah, okay, pet me, please.
Yes, the dog's got that whatever attitude.
We've got Thundercracker is sitting here telling us in the chat room that he's had sensitives on investigations, and we've also got Quentin Montoya. I can't even say it tonight. My voice is so gone. Quentin Montaigne says howdy, and so we'll say howdy back. But Thundercracker is saying that he has sensitives on investigations, and we do too. We really believe in using them. With us because they're the ones that are going to bird dog for us. They're going to see and feel things that normally the rest of us can't. I'm a sensitive myself, but I'm usually so busy with my gear, I'm really not focused on that. And so it's great to have someone there who is doing that, and that's their thing, and they're really good at it, and you just learn to trust them. Although I tend to find myself in the right place at the right time, even when I'm just focused on other things, it seems like I always find the great places to be and trust my feelings, Luke, and that kind of thing. So,
yeah, and they come to you with your recorder. Yeah, I can't believe the EVPs that you can pick up. You're amazing with that, with EVPs.
It's just, you know what I found out? It was just doing a lot of it and really being there. And not only that, it's funny. We've talked about this before, but going out in the field and actually being nice to them. And not running out there and being some kind of a showboater where you're coming in and saying, I'm insulting you in this way or that way. I tried it once and I really teed off a ghost out there in the Gold Discovery Park, and I had to go back and I apologized, and he accepted the apology. He was really pretty good about it when I manned up and said, hey, I ain't going to do that anymore. It just didn't feel right to me. And so I think part of it is I think you get a lot more flies with honey than not. And if they're not going to talk to you, they're not going to talk to you. And
that's right.
So I think that's just really the big secret for me is that. And and I'm not about secrets. If this technique is working for me, I'm sharing it with everybody. So,
I feel the same way.
Yeah, I just think that it's, if you talk to them like they were right there in the room with you and are alive and are able to be like a trusted friend, they're going to open up to you. And we get some just really neat stuff out here. I've got quite a large library of EVPs out there on the GRI website. If you just go into you'll see our link there. Just pop in there and take a look, and you'll hear some of the stuff we pick up, and all of it's downloadable, so you can download and listen to it all you want. And if you disagree with it, comment on it there on the site and tell me what you think you hear, because I'm not always right.
Well, you've gotten some really in some EVPs that were very clear, the little boy in the graveyard and the one that you told us about that you let us hear last weekend and at the restaurant there was amazing.
Yeah, that one that was stunning on the Queen Mary, that it was was a man's voice. And oddly enough, I was just thinking this morning about it, and it sounded to me like that guy's voice, he sounded like Nicolas Cage, of all things.
Yeah, he kind of did.
Yeah, and it just kind of it had an elite quality about it. So I was totally surprised at it, and it said "Rumium absolve me," which I don't know if there was somebody named Rumium or some other kind of a word, but very clear in there was absolve me. So this person mm-hmm. had some guilt about something, and it came through very clearly.
There's the one that was telling you that she was here. That was really good, too.
Oh,
there was
yes.
A woman.
That one was awesome. I mean, we were, that was from the late February walk down, where we walked down Main Street, Placerville, and just had a recorder in hand and walked in front of each store and stopped and talked a little bit, and then we'd go move on to the next one and the next one. And it's a great technique. I mean, you can go out there and find all sorts of places that you would never dream would have activity and get back and run your analysis, and you will find that you're going to get stuff. Oh, Thundercracker says, we had an investigator that heard a voice say, go home. Believe me, I've gotten a few of those. I know what you're saying. I've gotten a lot worse than that. Trust me. I've got some ones in there that say some real choice, colorful metaphors, if you know what I mean.
Your EVPs remind me of that commercial that they have out now for CarMax where the guy opens the door and a voice, a disembodied voice says, get out.
Yeah. We got,
have you
we
seen
got
that one?
Yeah, I think I've heard that one, and it's just, it's
funny.
It is. Yeah, it's like that for what we do, especially when
right.
I go into some of the first-time investigations where these spirits don't know us, and they think we're like all the other groups, and then they find out we're probably, a lot nicer to deal with, and we actually
kind
of respect them, and we won't ask for what they would like. We also are big believers in bringing gifts, and
right.
And oddly enough, I had that idea before, but it was what are those two EVP investigators, that husband and wife team out of Reno? You know who I mean? Debbie and Mark Constantino. Debbie and Mark have done a lot of real original work, and I really like them. I think they're great folks. And they were talking about at the Gold Hill Hotel out of Virginia City that she asked the spirits there what they wanted, and they said whiskey. So she went and bought them some Crown. She bought them Crown Royal and put it out there for them. So and then all these other investigators came back and said how unfair it was, because every time that they went to record there, all they heard about was Debbie and Mark bringing them whiskey.
That's funny.
Yeah, so I got the bright idea. I went, well, if it works for her, it would work for me. So I went and bought Crown Royal, and this Christmas I took some Crown Royal over to a couple of haunted spots that I know of, and I had these different spirits that I got on EVP telling me I was a blooming saint, and how considerate I was. So. You know, take them a drink, I think they're going to like it, just leave it in a little cup for them and go back and get it later and pour it out when it, after a day or so, make sure it's in a safe place, and all
yeah.
that. And do the common sense stuff. But take them other gifts, too, especially when, if it's at a graveyard that's been forgotten, go clean it up a little
mm-hmm.
bit, or go in and take a Christmas present, or,
right.
at Christmas or Thanksgiving. Leave them a little something. I took pumpkins up from our farm here, and they just loved it, and we got great EVPs. So when I show up, I mean, the place just gets the buzzing, and I get all kinds of great stuff because of that. I've got a question here from Miss Colonel Dan. Do you use any of the filtered functions on your recorder? Actually, no, I don't. The only thing I do on our recorder, and we've got several of them, but I use them mainly in the highest quality mode. And the only other special thing I do is I tend to stop and evaluate the noise levels around me, especially if there's a lot of cars in the area, or the wind. And I'll try to point the microphone away from that, and that would be probably as close to filtering as anything I would ever do. The only other area we're looking at doing is something different, is possibly putting the a windscreen around the recorder microphone, that end of it, and possibly even maybe a small enclosure to filter out external noises a little bit more. I don't think that it's going to inhibit getting EVPs, and Debbie and Mark Constantino talked a little bit about that, so it's something I'm going to try to see how it works. But filtering, you could do plenty of filtering in the lab after you get get back and download that stuff. And I don't know about how you do, what you're doing, Christine, because you do some EVP, right?
I do some EVP, yes, but I don't have the listening equipment that you have at your studio. So it's a little more difficult for me to pick anything up because, you really need the software. And I have software, but I don't have the technical software that you have that you use that is so good at picking up, stray sounds and voices. Some of the voices just blow me away.
Well, what's funny is I listen a lot, and the software I use is not all that special. I'm using, for example, right now, Audacity, and I also use the default Sony software that for my ICD recorders, and that I keep all my original evidence. So what I do is I'll download all the evidence from the original files off the recorder, then split off a copy on MP3, which then goes out for the Audacity analysis. And then I'll go through and start working that particular file and cutting out pieces. And I also record all the exact, minute and seconds so that I've got it exactly. And I clip those out, and then I name them based on whatever I think I'm hearing. And that's turned out to be a real successful way to do things. And then we just drag and drop those into our individual cases. And then you see that reflected on our website. It's worked. I've evolved that over time. You could get into some real expensive, super duper expensive stuff. And right now, I'll tell you what, I've been putting more money in the studio and some of my other gear than the software, but you really don't need it. Most of the time, this stuff is just sweat equity. If you're going to work hard and use a decent piece of software like Audacity, which is free, you can make it happen for yourself. And it's just that simple. And people want to think that it's going to be more than that, but it's not. It's just hard work and a lot of it. And that's what it takes to do this kind of work.
And I also believe that the spirits know that they can communicate when they find a sensitive. I think they know it, and they kind of gravitate to people they know can hear them and see them. And in your case, I think they do that through EVPs, and in my case, they do it a lot in photographs.
Yeah, I've had that case, that sort of thing happen, where I not only get them on audio, but I actually hear them on occasion with my own ears. And matter of fact, Disgruntled Dan is bringing up a good case in point. He says here, do you ever hear something that doesn't show up on audio? Well, the truth is exactly that has happened, and I'll illustrate a case in point. One of my normal regular spots to go is about a mile from me here is the Shingle Springs Cemetery. And I was there on a gift-giving mission, of all things. I was visiting the grave of William Palmer, well-known rancher here, and I've gotten quite a few pieces of great EVP evidence off of him. And I had my recorder on, and I was talking to him, and I heard a man's voice about maybe less than 10 feet from me clearly say hello. And I turned to look, and I noted the time and made sure that I wrote it down and went back to the lab and figured I had a great EVP. Well, I got back and went through that tape inside and out. I had nothing. I mean, it
was,
and I mean, that's happened to me one other time. and but that was the best one. I mean, it was just so clear, and I know he was there. Had my EMF meters out too. No evidence of EMFs, and there is some explainable EMF that happens on one side of the cemetery due to some power lines, but that was weird. You know, the fact that you just heard it. And lately, I've been having more and more of small audio issues where I pick up things, and I don't have my recorders with me. And so I do hear them more and more, and I think it's just a function of doing that. And Dan says, yeah, I thought I was losing it. Thanks. You're not the only one, pal. Trust me, it happens to all of us. Yeah, does that happen to you? Do you get audio? Do you hear voices on occasion with?
I hear a lot of voices. I hear what they tell me in my head, telepathically. I don't hear them audibly, but I do also hear my name called quite often. And but I don't hear it. Like I said, I don't hear it audibly. I hear it in my head. But I'll be just doing something, and all of a sudden I'll hear Christine. You know, and I'll look up and look around and, you know, wait for something to come through. And it's almost like they're testing me to see, to make sure that I can hear them. And
yeah,
I hear voices all the time.
Yeah, you know, they're telling, yes, they told me what to wear and buy today. Okay. You know.
The voices in my head made me do it.
Yeah, it's not the best thing to do to walk around work talking about that part of it in your life.
No.
But, you know, but I do have them on occasion where I think that it's, you know, they're just trying to get your attention. And but it's strange. The paranormal is just so weird because there's no rules or rhyme or reason to it.
No,
it seems like what works one way at one location won't work at another. And it's very fickle, and it's so out there. I mean, I could spend a whole lifetime doing this, which I tend to do. But I, you know, trying to explore it, and I am I'm a scientist for a living, and I'm fascinated with this. But man, it's just not it doesn't reproduce well. It's not the kind of thing where you can do a hypothesis and say, okay, every time we do this, we get this result. And so
yeah,
that's how it seems to be. But, you know, there's nothing better than going out in the field and it's a nice, you know, cold evening and maybe a little bit of rain coming, and you go out there to a haunted spot with a friend, and you come back and you've got like this Class A EPP that's just really great. And everybody just is marveling at it. Or you go out in the middle of the day and you try something and just try something off the wall and you don't expect anything, and you land a big one, and you go, how the heck did that happen? So,
right. As a matter of fact, I've got to tell you this story. I was working in my office today, and my supervisor asked me to download some photographs that they took at a 4-H, because I work for the 4-H in El Dorado County. And she asked me to download some of the photographs that they had taken at one of their events. And I'm downloading these photos, and all of a sudden I see orbs in the photos.
Oh, my God.
They were definite spirit orbs, and it was inside one of the buildings. It was a place where in Elk Grove, where they have a Boys and Girls Club where the kids come and meet. And there were probably 100 photographs on the disc that I downloaded on the, the little, what do you call those things? The hard drive, you know, the little hard drive that comes in cameras.
Yeah.
Anyway, there were probably 100 photos on there, and only the photographs of them inside the building had the orbs, and there were probably 6. They were all in different places, but a lot of them were like right over some of the kids that were sitting in the photograph. It was amazing, and I was telling my supervisor, I said, excuse me, but whoever took these pictures caught a spirit in this room. She was laughing. Yes.
Is this a public place or a private home?
It was a home at one time, and now it's a Boys and Girls Club thing in Elk Grove, where teenagers can go and hang out before their parents get home, I guess, from between school and when their parents get home. And,
well, you might have caught a spot that's got something going on, I take it.
I know. That's what I thought. I said, okay, you have to tell me where this is so John and I can go and investigate it.
Yeah. Matter of fact, we'll have to talk more about that. I'll talk with you later about that. That sounds like a potential one. But, you know, we've got an embarrassment of riches with the cases we've got loaded up. Oh, goodness.
All you have to do is ask.
Yeah, you taught me that, and I picked up on it. And boy, we nailed it. I mean, we had three businesses that we're going to be able to do investigations in, and one more private case. And then this Friday, you and I and several friends will be up investigating another private home, and hopefully
that should be
we'll
fun.
And they're good friends of the family, so it'll be a really interesting thing to see if what we pick up and potentially may be able to play on the show. So. That said, we're closing in on the last 5 minutes of the show, so I don't know. I'm just going to look here at some of our guests and see who we've had on here in the chat room. We've had guest number 5618, and I know that's not your name, but that's what the system called you. I wanted to thank you. We've got ED Paranormal, you, Christine.
Uh-huh.
We have Five Seasons and Disgruntled Den and some guy from GRI Paranormal who likes to hang out here quite a bit. And let's see, Quentin Montaigne had stopped by, and he just said he wanted to give us give John some love, see you later hugs. And Thundercracker, I'll read a couple of things you had too. We had your website. I'm just going to go back in the show notes here and see if I can find the link. That was www.richmondmansion.com had some of his evidence, and looked like a really good stuff that he's got. So we want to thank Thundercracker for coming aboard and sharing so much with us. And he says he's a paranormal investigation observer with access to a haunted building, and probably ought to find out more about that from him. He says we've had green eyes and mists and temperature drops and all sorts of things like that. And I think this, I'm not sure if it's in Kansas or what, but anyway, quite an interesting fellow, and hopefully we'll hear more from him. And this Disgruntled Dan, I'm still laughing about that. He thought he was losing it. Dan, no, you didn't lose it. hearing that stuff, I just think it's a much more common phenomenon than people realize. But that said, Christine, hey, you know, we're down to 2 minutes on the show, and just wanted to thank you for dialing in.
You're
and I'll
welcome.
Give you a call a little bit later. I'll close down the shop here and thank everyone. And what we're going to be doing is, by the way, our upcoming show in right about, that'll be Sunday at 8 o'clock. Normally we do it on Saturday, but we'll be doing that private home investigation. On the Sunday show, we're going to be talking about the future of paranormal investigation. So we're going to be looking at everything from 5 to 10 years in the future out to roughly 100 years. And, you know, Christine, you're more than welcome to dial in and, you know, participate. I'm going to have another guest on who's been on a lot of different investigations and has a very wide and diverse background. And we're going to talk all about that. So we really hope you'll join us then. And
so that's going to be a fun show.
Yeah, I'm just looking really forward to it. It's going to be awesome. You just never hear what people talk about, what the future is going to bring, and how it's interesting because I think that paranormal investigation as we do it now is going to be seen as positively barbaric, and you know, in a matter of 10 years to 20 years. So what we're doing now is great stuff, but just wait to see what's coming because I think the techniques are going to be there. So, hey, we're going to be closing down in about 50 seconds. So that said, I'm going to thank Christine for being here again. And
thanks,
we're
dear.
And I'm going to go ahead and play something fun just to kind of end it here. it's all I couldn't upload today, so I'm just going to play this. Here we go.
Troops is filmed on location with the men of the Imperial Forces. All suspects are guilty, period. Otherwise, they wouldn't be suspect, would they?
I just had to do that. That was from the police show, and I just didn't have the heart to delete it. So 15 seconds, folks. We're going to be on out of here. See you in about 4 or 5 days here, probably 4 days. Take care, and thank you so much. Okay, Christine. I'm going to give you a call here a little bit later, okay? Oops, we're on here. Never mind, I'll call later. Bye.